Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Adam Christman. Welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. This week's guest, I have Steve Dale, Certified Animal Behavior Consultant, and he has reached more pet owners over the past few decades than any other pet journalist in America. He is the host of two nationally syndicated radio shows, Steve Dale's Pet World and The Pet Minute. He's also a special contributor at WGN Radio Chicago and a program host of Steve Dale's Pet World. He formerly hosted the nationally broadcast Animal Planet Radio, and he's been in everything. If you haven't seen this guy, you should check him out because he's everywhere at SteveDalePetWorld.com. Welcome to the podcast.
My whole bio is a tongue twister, I know.
Let me tell you, like, say that five, and then, like, all the radio show stations, like the WMAQ TV.
WMAQ, that's a great radio station, and TV station, was a great radio station, great TV outlet in Chicago, yes.
Yes, I love it. So tell everybody what you're doing. Like, you do so many wonderful things for the organization, for the profession. Just give us a little snippet of what you're doing.
A little snippet and the most exciting thing ever. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
So we did a book. It was my idea, really. It happened at, if I can say this on your podcast, yeah, at the Western Veterinary Conference, where we came up with the idea of what ultimately became a book authored by members of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists called Decoding Your Dog. And the book did so incredibly well. No surprise, really, right, to me, but to the publisher. And now, right now, at this very moment, a book called Decoding Your Cat.
Nice.
Yeah. Also authored by members of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. And it takes from kittenhood to geriatric cats and everything in between. And the most valuable part of the book, I think, is the education to cat parents, which the thrust of it essentially says, if there's a problem, don't assume it's behavior. Right. Check it out medically first to see if there's a medical explanation. Also, it dispels myth after myth after myth after myth after myth after myth about cats, because there are so many of those. And it also offers exposure to the College of Veterinary Behaviorists, of which many members of the public don't even know exist. I was honored to write the introduction to the book.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment. I like what you just said, by the way, too, with cats, because as a veterinarian myself, when you hear about these issues that they have, definitely get them checked by your veterinarian first, because they could be medical versus behavioral. That's the number one thing you want to check off your list, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so the cat is thinking outside the box, and many cat parents go to Dr. Google, or they go wherever they go online, and they say, or maybe they talk to a friend, or maybe they've had an issue before. You know what? You can add 47 litter boxes if that cat is thinking outside the box because of kidney insufficiency, for example. That isn't going away because you've added litter boxes. So this is why I am so passionate about people asking their veterinarian first for an exam for that cat or dog, for that matter, or pet bird or rabbit or guinea pig. Anytime there is a change in behavior, I say, why? There's got to be a reason for it. And it turns out often that reason is medical, or at least there's a contributory factor that is medical.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of cat parents out there, but there's a lot more that want to be cat parents, but they have allergies. And this is a big thing. Tell me a little bit about what we know about allergies in cat parents.
And we'll be talking about this at the upcoming virtual Fetch conference with Dr. Mike Lappin. Together, we're going to be giving a talk about what's new in the cat world, essentially. And this is not only new, it's a lifesaver. You know, one of the reasons, ask any shelter professional and say, why are cats relinquished to your shelter? And there are, behavior is a big reason, which we talked about. Maybe the family is moving. What might be happening, and I hope not soon. It's the economy, stupid, you know. Yeah. But allergies. And it turns out the number one allergy on the planet isn't hay fever. It's not allergies to peanut butter. It's cat allergies. That's actually number one on the planet. So if we can figure out a way that people are not allergic to cats, then they no longer have that excuse to give up cats. Maybe more people would adopt cats in the first place, of course. How do you do that? And actually, Purina has figured out a way to do that. A scientist. Now imagine waking up in the morning and saying, I know that cat allergies are actually caused by a protein in the saliva. Of course, that is exactly how the scientist sounds. Yes, I think so. And I'm going to neutralize that protein.
Either that or movie phone.
Yes. And it took them like 6 years to do this, but they did. They did this. So the protein actually has a name. It's called FELD1 or FELD1. Many veterinarians are familiar with the fact that this protein exists, but the fact that it exists, it's like, how can you eliminate that? And this food, this new food called Live Clear from Purina, actually neutralizes that protein. I mean, to me, this is astounding. And it's the biggest news of scientific research that I can think of, maybe in the 30 years that I've been doing this. I mean, this will save cats' lives.
Yeah, that's a game changer, big time.
I think so.
Yeah. You know, what is it like? Do you think that cat parents are different than dog parents? Tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's been some research that says yes, but I say mostly no. You know, I've talked to so many people. So I remember the host radio shows, as you mentioned in your beautiful introduction to me. And one of those radio shows is on WGN in Chicago. And when I was on in the evening, I remember taking a call and the guy said, "Hello." I said, "Yes, I've got to talk to you, Steve." And I heard all this noise in the background. I said, "Where are you?" "In my truck." So it's good radio. I said, "Give me one of those truck toots, you know." So I burp, burp on the truck, you know. And I don't know, the guy might have been 4'3" and 28 pounds, but I imagined him being 6'6", 350 pounds. And he said, "I'll tell you, the toughest thing that happened in my life was, and the biggest loss, and I'm now 63 or whatever years old. And, you know, sadly, my wife passed away 3 years ago. And it was so hard. We had a wonderful marriage and I've lost my parents. Nothing has been harder than me losing my cat." And here's this maybe big guy, truck driver, talking about the loss of his wife and how losing his cat was just as, if not more, difficult. And you wouldn't even think that guy had it. Well, it turns out he continued to talk to me and he traveled with that cat. That cat was with him 24/7 on the road. And no wonder why they had the bond that they did. So I think that the notion that only little old ladies have cats, we know actually now that we have data on all this, is not true. And in fact, the most growing number of cat parents are among millennials. That we know is true. And they are the most influential, if you will, of cat parents. They're the ones that started cat cafes. They're the ones that made Instagram stars out of cats. Stars on this platform. So I think that we have so many misconceptions about even who cares about cats, you know? Right. And it's not what we think.
No, I agree. The pendulum has shifted in a good way for these guys too. And I think with COVID here and being home with our cats and just loving them more, I mean, the bond is probably so much stronger now than it ever was. I mean, I'm seeing that as a practicing veterinarian. We always loved our animals, but in my lifetime, this is definitely the strongest I have seen the human-animal bond exist. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that people are noticing their cats in a way they didn't before?
Exactly. They're like knowing their nuances, like their behaviors throughout the day versus like the morning and the evening when they're coming home from, you know, when they're not working and all that. So when they're home, when they're working from home, they're seeing their behaviors, they're interacting, they're engaging. They realize my cat really does have a personality or maybe a catitude, you know? But it's really helpful when they're coming in for their wellness exams because they're giving so much information now then we were getting all this nebulous. Well, I don't know. She goes to the litter box maybe once a day. I can't tell. Now they're like, well, she goes at least twice a day. She does it at 2 o'clock. She does it at 6 o'clock. Have it down to a science now, you know?
Yes. Yes. And I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, coronavirus, as you and I know, is in the feline population. And there's some newer research and data that's showing about feline infectious peritonitis. Just tell us a little bit about that.
And I'll tell you a little bit, but Dr. Lappin will tell you a lot.
A lot.
at the next FETCH conference. You know, it would be fun to get Dr. Lappin and myself on one of these. You know,
I know. We got to get him on.
Yeah, to go back and forth.
Yes.
Being a veterinarian for 5 years, even, and certainly for veterinarians that have been in the profession for 25 years, and you say to them, by the way, there's now a cure for FIP, feline infectious peritonitis. And most would say, you've been drinking something, you know, that's impossible. And it turns out we have that now. And we're awaiting FDA approval on a drug that, by the way, that same drug is also now being looked at by the Food and Drug Administration to help people with COVID. And the initial drug investigated to solve FIP in cats that turned out not to be used, but not because it wasn't effective. It had to do with patents and those kinds of things. That drug is remdesivir. And remdesivir is one of two drugs approved for treating people with COVID-19. So we're not surprised to hear that. You know, feline infectious peritonitis is not a coronavirus per se. It's an outcome, if you will, of a coronavirus. And certainly the feline coronavirus is not the human coronavirus. But if it wasn't for the Wynn Feline Foundation funding initially Dr. Niels Petersen, and if it wasn't for Dr. Niels Petersen's dogged determination, I mean, my gosh, this guy is the guy who first identified FIP, who first said, this is how FIP works. He's been, and that didn't take a day. It took many decades.
Yeah.
Because FIP is so complex, one disease. So I can explain it, or you can, for people listening, that it's very common for kittens to get the feline coronavirus, but inside the kitten, in some percent of kittens, that's now we know, not insignificant, it transforms into an immune-mediated disease called feline infectious peritonitis that was always thought to be fatal.
Yeah, that's a huge game changer. You know, when I first started practicing and we start to come to the diagnosis, and it's hard to make the diagnosis of FIP too, but when you do see that icteric, you know, kitty that has the wet form that you're presumptively assuming, you're thinking it's a death sentence. And so now, it's not, which is great, you know? So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's really great. Tell me a little bit about the Wynn Foundation.
The Wynn Feline Foundation was, I'm honored to serve on the board of directors. I've been on their board for maybe 15 years or something like that. They cannot get rid of me.
you're everywhere.
they try, you know, and I keep showing up at their meetings.
Right. Like, who's this guy?
I know. Excuse me, it was formed 52 years ago. I don't go back that far with them. And it was an outcome of the Cat Fanciers Association, which is a organization of cat fanciers, people that breed cats and show cats. And they said back then, there's gotta be a way to investigate all of these illnesses cats get. Specifically at that point, they were looking mostly at pedigreed or purebred cats. Now, of course, for many, many years, we look at all cats and everything about cats, everything. We know about cats, the Wynn Feline Foundation has had its finger in some way, or its paw, in some way or another. Everything from what we feed our cats at one point in time, before your time, before my time in the 1960s into the early 1970s, cats were dying of a heart disease called dilated cardiomyopathy. No one knew why. The cardiac veterinarians were thinking, oh, well, it's got to be this or this or this. And one veterinary student at that point, Dr. Paul Pion, said, I think it's actually there isn't enough taurine. That's an amino acid. Cats cannot produce it on their own like people can and like dogs can. And I don't think there's enough of it in cat food. Well, it turns out he was right. Wynn funded the studies to demonstrate his then thought to be crazy notion was absolutely correct. You fast forward the clock, to today, I described about FIP, which was always thought to be impossible to figure out, but I can give so many other examples. The way you treated, or at least colleagues that preceded you, treated diabetes in cats was very different than the way you treat diabetes today in cats. And we now know the type of diabetes it is. That simply, and you're thinking, well, everyone knew that. Well, everyone didn't know that at that point in time. And then how do you fix it? And what does that have to do with being obese or overweight? And we know all those things today. And we didn't then. And it was treated very, very differently. It was treated more like diabetes in dogs. Today, you know, well, that doesn't make any sense. But back then, nobody knew that doesn't make any sense. And Dr. Deb Greco, by the way, was a pioneer in that world. She now works with Purina, actually. So Wynn has funded a lot. I mean, stem cells. So when stem cells became controversial for some silly reason in the human medical world, in the animal world, we said, well, what? No, this is science. And let's see. So now we know an illness that too many cats get called stomatitis that affects their teeth and gums and their entire mouths, really. It turns out stem cells may be able, still figuring it out, but stem cells may be able to help these kitties. So the list goes on and on and on and on. Everything, not only owned cats, but shelter cats. A lot of what we know about what they need in shelters, so their anxiety level is at least at a minimal level, was once funded by the Wynn Feline Foundation. And even for community cats, those outdoor cats.
Wow. It's incredible to see how much research has been done just through the Wynn Feline Foundation. So that's incredible. Well, I can't have you leave without me asking you your favorite cat breed. If you had to choose one, only one, who would it be?
So I could run into the other room and grab our cat. He was a 17-year-old. That's why if I call her, she's not coming. She used to. Honest to goodness, I had a cat that when I called Roxy, she would come running, you know? Not anymore. It's not, her hearing's actually pretty good. It's selective hearing and arthritis that are, it's like, why am I getting up for him?
Right.
But he is a, you ready?
I'm ready.
Devon Rex cat.
Oh, beautiful.
They're a cat with a single coat of hair, for those who don't know. It feels like, come over to my house, everybody, and pet our cat. It feels like a chenille sweater.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. And
their personality? What's their personality like?
They tend to be very demonstrative cats. They will greet you at the door. They will help not me or you, but women put on their makeup. They will jump up on their shoulders. And while you're looking in the mirror, again, not me or you, but some of you are looking in the mirror to put on your whatever you put on.
Right.
The cat's right there giving you instructions about how to do it. No, you need more eyelash or whatever. They want to be with you all the time, but they're not like Abyssinians are like very active. Bengal cats are like border collies of the cat world. They're not anywhere near that active, but at the same time, they're pretty active. They're very social, and they also will, you'll be sleeping with a hot water bottle because they don't have much hair. It's just the single coat of hair. They could use a bit of Rogaine, I suppose. So they will sleep right beside you, in part to keep warm, I suspect. And they keep you warm, too.
I love that. You have cats to be kidding me.
Yes.
So where can we find more information about you?
For those who want to know about me, it's stevedale.tv, stevedale.tv. And for those who want to hear either Dr. Lappin or myself speak, Dr. Lappin and I are talking, among other things, about misconceptions as well as new science.
Yes.
Where can people go to find it anyway?
So yeah, they can go to fetchdvm360.com to find out information to register. So registration is going to be all, what's good about virtual is that registration is good all the way up until the night before. So
that's good.
Yeah. So that's great. Yeah. So it's, and there's a whole bunch of other, we have feline behavior. We're actually doing a live one with, Dr. Chris Pockel and Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, and we're talking about if it's dermatologic versus behavioral in terms of referring to veterinarians on, do I refer this to the dermatology service or is this going to behavioral? So very interesting stuff with feline medicine.
I know the answer. Should I give it away?
Don't give it away.
It turns out I will stop.
Don't give it away. Steve Dale, thank you so much for being on the Vet Blast podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.